Okay, are you ready for an episode of whatever this is?
What is it?
Well, hopefully we'll work it out one day.
Of course.
So today's my turn to bring something to you.
I'm ready.
For us to discuss, think about, come to some conclusions on, change our lives, change people's lives. Are you ready for that pressure?
Doing it for the people. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm not doing it for me.
What person? That one person.
So today I have a quote for you, which I'm sure you've heard before. And the quote is, find a job you love.
Oh, God.
And you
will never work a day in your life.
Can I finish my quote? Is this going to be an interrupty sort of episode?
Find
a job you love and you will never have to work a day in your life. Sometimes it's choose a job you love, but I think most of the time it's find a job you love. I tried looking up what the source is, and it wasn't clear. I think Confucius said something similar, but it's often sort of mistranslated. And then some people think Mark Twain said it, but that wasn't clear either.
What did Confucius
say? So it's probably just merged into a sort of modern day saying. Confucius said something like, job is always painful. Something
give
like
up.
That. Yes. But somehow that got mistranslated. So anyway, find a job you love and you will never have to work a day again in your life.
So you want to talk about jobs and work. That's great. I love it. I'm on board.
And then obviously the whole follow your passion, right? That's like a even shorter version with the similar sort of principles.
Oh, that's good. Oh, you printed it out for me.
I did. If you'd rather I talked a bit more about it
maybe,
I can, but I just thought I'd get your initial response and then I'll go into a bit more.
This is my initial response.
Okay, for those just listening, because this is only audio.
Blank stare.
I just saw a stare like you'd just seen the most boring 10-hour play that you've ever seen in your life.
This is the most quoted quote on Instagram, do you reckon? I'm not saying you didn't do deep research. find a job you know. What made you choose it? What sparked the, that's the one to talk about?
I don't have to justify this.
You're
the one being questioned here. Right, you don't throw this back to me.
Find a job you love. It's hard to get past the cheese.
You can question me
next
week.
To get past the cheesiness of it, isn't it? The overhearing of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we try and get past
that. But let's just get past that. So the core messaging, do you have any initial response? If not, I can elaborate a bit more.
My initial response, I guess, do we not want to work then? What does work mean? And it's obviously a little bit tongue-in-cheek, isn't it, saying you are working, but you know, it doesn't feel like it. You won't even notice.
Yeah, of course.
The graft and the grind.
So work is basic. Let's define work as
something
that you wouldn't do unless financially compensate for it or compensate for it in some other way.
Interesting. I'm thinking.
But that definition is not quite right. Basically, it's something you do for compensation. I think let's not get too caught up on the definition of work, because we both know what we mean by that. But in general, obviously, it's something that most people probably wouldn't do every day unless they were compensated for it.
Well, I think this is a thing that people think about all the time, and most people wrestle with this issue, I would say.
Okay.
Do you agree with that?
I think so. I think a lot of people have probably given up on it as well, this idea of finding something you love.
Is there pressure in this? Like a searching quality of, where is it? Where's that job I love? Where, I've got to find it. I'll find that job. I'll be happy. What was your reaction to it?
I guess my initial reaction was naivety. So it was naive, and I probably thought, I like the sound of that. I would like a job that I love so I never have to work again. Obviously, there's something that would be great, right? If you would have done it anyway and you're on top of that, well compensated for it. But then I do question, and this is what I was going to come on to, kind of how true it is, how realistic it is, and maybe it's actually bad advice to give people.
Because some would say if you worked in the field of your passion, that it kind of kills your passion and you start to hate being a Brad Pitt's assistant.
Bathroom assistant. So that principle of if you do something you love, you'll end up not loving it.
Yeah.
You turn it into a job, right? So something that I, as part of my in-depth research, I watched this video on YouTube. I think I might have sent it to you a while ago. And it's called Here's Why You Want a Really Boring Job by How Money Works. And it goes through a number of points which basically counter that expression, find a job you love and you'll never have to work a day in your life. One of them being, which is what you just raised, if you do what you love, it will no longer be what you love when you turn it into a job. So in the video, they say it's best to avoid doing what you love for work because you won't love it forever. Even the most exciting jobs that you can imagine have a lot of boring work that comes with them. And then they go on to say, even if a dream job does manage to live up to its hype initially, there is one surefire way to end up hating something you originally loved, and that is being forced to do it for 40 hours a week with the threat of homelessness hanging over you if you don't. So do you think that's true?
No.
That if you turn something you love into a job, it quickly will become something you don't love, that you hate even.
Yeah, but it's still better than doing something you hate.
Is it?
Because...
if it's just turned into something you hate. Because there's other downsides to it as well, which I'll go through.
Downsides to doing something you love?
Yeah. Which this video is arguing are reasons why you should just aim to do something that's just actually boring, right?
Right, I get it.
Because that comes with benefits.
What's the other downsides then?
So other downsides are... you'll probably be paid less, taken more advantage of because the people that you work for know that you're doing it because you love it. You'll be competing with other people who are doing it because they love it, so it's more competitive. You'll be expected to do more, and you'll know you have to do more because someone else will do more because they love it, apparently. It's what they want to do. So, so the video goes along the lines of, like, if working in aspirational jobs like in art, media, fashion, you're more likely to be paid less than your equivalent peers in a more boring industry or company, because the company they work for know that the workers motivate to be there because they're there for money. So yeah, that's one of the other reasons. And another reason they give is that your work life will be simpler because the people you work with are there for money as well. They know you're there for money, not some ideal. So everyone's just there for money, so they just cut to the chase, they make decisions. Whereas if people are working with people who love what they do, it can become, according to this video, a bit more messy, a bit more ego involved. It's not just about the money, you're doing it for some other reason, which can just complicate the situation, maybe cause more stress, etc.
But we're not robots. Well, not all of us.
Okay.
It's the equivalent saying, don't marry for love, make sure that they are boring, no messy complications, earn X amount, blah, blah, blah. Because otherwise, you know, if you do love, it'll just get boring, which is probably true, but it'll just get boring.
I think you've just given a perfect analogy.
I've argued against my own argument.
I was actually listening to Alain de Botton. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but you know the guy, the philosopher and author. I think he was on DOAC podcast. He was saying that Rome, I could have this wrong. So apologies, Alan, if I'm misquoting you, but I think it was along the lines of like doing things for the romance, and these romantic ideals are actually generally a bad idea. And what you want to look for is, you know,
practical,
someone who you can relate to, someone who's not, you know, a drunk, someone who's not violent.
Right, I need to write this down.
So I think you could apply the same principle to other things, but if we just stick to the work idea, the How Money Works video says, really, you are much better off working for money and then using that money to enjoy the things you love in your own time, in your own way.
That's where I'd like to step in and say there is no other time. What time? What 10 minutes at the weekend I get to abseil?
Well, maybe
you know how much I love abseiling.
You can retire early.
So I have to wait till I retire before I start my abseiling, which I love. In this fake scenario.
Have you ever abseiled?
No.
Not even once, no. From like a school trip or something?
Who abseils on a school trip?
I did.
What kind of school did you go to?
It's a normal school. We went to Wales and we abseiled down a small cliff face.
I don't see the point. Why
in
do
abseiling?
That? Yeah. Why? I mean, there's nothing against it, but there's lots of other stuff to do on the weekend. Why? For the view, but you're seeing it going downwards.
And also,
you're not actually staring at the wall.
the view is normally it's worth the effort because you get a view at the end.
Yeah,
but this is like the reverse of that. It's just worse. The more you succeed, the worse the view gets.
Obviously, there's a challenge there.
And you've got to get to that point.
Isn't it harder to go up and come down?
Maybe they do both.
Why do I pick abseiling? Why do I pick abseiling? My argument is, that's great if I have to work one day a week for all that money and it's boring, I don't care. I'm like, oh, now I'm abseiling for the rest of the week. Jobs, especially boring ones, take up your whole week and some people's weekends. So no one seems to take that factor in. There isn't spare time or headspace to do the things that you care about. Right?
Okay.
So that's one point.
So it could be but the idea, I suppose, is that you will probably get paid more doing the boring job.
Yeah.
And so in theory, you'll have more free time either because you retire early or because you can pay for a cook and a cleaner and someone to look after the kids.
I think most, let's say, corporate boring jobs are consuming, especially well-paid ones, and I would imagine this is a
complete generalisation. But more consuming than the equivalent in the non-boring industry.
Right? Probably you're going to be consumed.
Or maybe even not. Maybe less consuming. It's less consuming because someone who works for a boring company, everyone there knows it's boring. We finish at 5 because we want to start abseiling. Boring company, they're kind of encouraged to be there till 6, 7, 8 because they all love it. That's apparently true. They all want to be
That's
there.
That's true, but you're telling me that most corporate well-paid jobs, not talking about just normal admin jobs, well-paid corporate jobs, those people are not finishing at 5. They're working at the weekend.
If we just compare like for like, do you think that their hours are more, who works longer hours, those in boring jobs or those in non-boring jobs?
I'd say, obviously it depends on the job, but the same across the board.
Okay, well, if it's the same, then we've still got the other reasons to go for the boring one.
Same. So you might as well spend all those hours, because there's no other spare hours,
doing something you love, right?
In an environment that you care about to some degree. I think that is valid if I worked a week and then I'm like, don't worry, you've worked really hard for this week in a boring job, but I've got 3 weeks off to live life.
Yeah.
Jobs take up most of your time and energy.
Yeah, they're a real pain in the ass.
Let's get in the way.
They do. I don't know why people haven't voted for 3-day, 4-day weekends as standard.
I think the people.
It would have to be a global vote.
So that's one argument. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I understand.
The other argument is we're not robots. So, yeah, I wish I could be a coder working for, I'm trying to think of a well-paid job.
Company
I wish I was a top lawyer. I had those skills and abilities to earn the 200k.
Is a lawyer an example of a job that's exciting and that people love, or a job that's boring and that people don't want to do?
Some people don't get stupid. Exactly. I've got to be careful here. It's safe to stick to coder.
Maybe let's say, just compare the same job but for a different company. So someone who works in whatever, you said coder, right? Someone who's coding for some boring software that's only going to be used by some boring businesses, or someone who's coding for something exciting like Apple or Google, etc. So they say they're doing the equivalent sort of job.
Well, neither of those jobs are exciting. Or are you saying that one is?
Oh, well, I'm saying that some might get an extra thrill from the fact that they're working for Apple, right?
Yeah, but
when they could work, do the same thing pretty much.
But that's when I think
for
that
company.
Blah, blah. That doesn't last. That bit doesn't last about the company. I'm talking about the actual work.
The work itself.
You're coding 10 hours a day. It doesn't matter who you're coding for. It really.
Yeah, but I'm sure that some people,
they care more about, there would be more pull towards companies they care about.
Mm.
Maybe.
Mm.
So what's your point?
About what?
You're saying, I've lost track.
What's your point?
My point is,
it takes so much time you work, you won't have time to do the things you want to love in your spare time.
No.
So if you want to do something you love, you've got to do it while you're working.
I think so.
In principle, right?
In principle.
No, I can understand.
But that. I'm very aware that just because it's in an industry that you love or anything like that, it doesn't. We have to balance out love versus money as well, don't we? Is that extra 20K more worth it to work in an environment that's completely not who you are? Or anything you care about?
Well, I guess the argument being made by How Money Works is that when you choose the job that you initially loved, it won't be like that for long. So you'll just end up with a kind of a job that you don't like anyway, and in a worse situation because it's more competitive. The reasons that I said already.
I don't believe
so. You might as well have just gone for the boring one.
There must be plenty of people in the world that love their jobs and their vocations that they've chosen.
Name one. I'm yet to meet one.
No, Bob.
So anyway, not saying what I believe. I'm just going through the arguments made in How Money Works.
A footballer he gets, that's a really bad example. They get so well paid.
I know. I use football as a good example because that's play, isn't it? When you're a child, that's play, and they've continued that play all the way through to adulthood. Yeah, and if they manage to be successful at it, they are very well compensated for it.
That's an industry that's well compensated, so it's not good.
And they get adored by people.
What's a good example?
An example of what?
People that love their jobs, no matter how much they get paid, kind of thing. Like actors. Would they be happier? So someone's an actor and they don't get amazing pay, but they're in the theatre, in movies now and then. Are they bored with it?
Should they have been an accountant?
Should they have been an accountant? Because they would have got a pension and 20k more overall.
Maybe. I don't know.
Average per year.
That's the question posed today.
To me, that seems ridiculous. Imagine 40 years of work as an accountant and your heart is that you want to be an actor. That's like a depressing story. That's, don't bother.
Well, I suppose the argument that they're making is that you won't, when you start out, you might think you're going to have this amazing, passionate, exciting career, but actually it will turn out to be stressful and not well paid and all these other complications. And really, you should have just been an accountant. I think that's what the video is arguing.
Should everyone be an accountant?
Is that as catchy as, here's why you really want a really boring job? So just to add to this, so there's this guy called Cal Newport. You know him already? So he wrote So Good They Can't Ignore You. He's got his own podcast. And he says some similar things. So for example, in one of his podcasts, which is called Core Idea, Don't Follow Your Passion. So I'll just read out a few bits from that. So a lot of people don't have clearly predefined, sorry, a lot of people don't have clearly defined pre-existing passions to follow, right? So I guess that's issue number one, which I can completely understand.
Oh, but it's not in touch.
So this idea of find a job you love, you know, you at the very first hurdle, right? Just deciding, well, what actually do you love? You know, it's not obvious. It's not like a lot of people don't, you know, see a piano when they're six and decide this is the thing I'm going to obsess about for the rest of my life. For most people, it's a bit more complicated and messy than that, isn't it?
But maybe it doesn't have to be. We overcomplicate it because of this question of, "Oh, but I'll never earn any money from it." Yeah, I used to like
messaging when we're younger.
Wood whittling when I was little, and I was really good at it. But we let that go.
Wood whittling. You're coming up with great examples today.
But that. That's, to me, that's...
How many wood whittlers are there in the world? And how happy are they? We need to survey wood whittlers.
If you're a wood whittler, when you're little...
It really sounds like a euphemism.
And
you're whittling your wood.
That could be transferred to furniture maker. It does make sense. There's a linear path there. That makes sense. But if I was a wood whittler and I loved it, and then you said... You're 18 now, here's this accountancy firm. It just so seems nonsensical to me.
And if you continue down the wood whittling path,
I'm really good at wood whittling.
You're going to find unemployment. You're going to find...
But I love
it. And when you are employed, you're going to find that... Hold on a second, is wood whittling like even a competitive industry?
It will be now.
I have no idea.
We've spread the word.
Isn't it machines that are just taking that over?
God, you've got no soul.
Can you,
still a call
can
for
you just come up with a good example?
Are you saying my examples are too obscure?
Okay, let's take someone and they want to be...
I'm a wood whittler that goes abseiling on the weekends. fine.
Typical thing, right? Someone, a child wants to be... Well, you gave it a good example already, right? Just stick with acting, maybe.
Yeah.
So someone is 12 and they want to be an actor. And that's continued, and they're 16 now, and they still want to be an actor, but they've got to decide their A-levels. How would you feel about the 16-year-old being sat down and said,
"Right, you never
nice
would.
Idea
you never
about the
would.
Acting thing, but it's actually going to end in tears.
In real life.
Here is a degree in.
Here's your accountancy diploma. Yeah. Please get to work.
You'll thank me for it afterwards.
I've installed Sage into your. What is Sage? Isn't that for HR? You wouldn't. In real life, that little teenager comes to you and goes, okay, what do I do with my life? I love acting, but I don't know what to do. You know, no one's ever going to go, what the hell?
Yeah, sort your life out, teenager. Lots of people do. Lots of parents would say, no, you're doing a medical degree, right?
Would you?
For example.
You'd say, follow your heart.
I don't know what I would do, to be honest with you. I would just step out of the room.
What, moonwalk? Okay, bye.
Leave them to it.
I think that this is all cerebral, very good, yeah.
But who's going
to... In real life, we have to do what we have to do. That's what I think. But then I will caveat that with, I think that there's these psychological things that happen to us as children that we get praised for certain things. So I did a tap dance once. And then someone applauded me. This is not a real example. I never tap dance in my life. But say I did at a school rehearsal thing.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, oh, she's very good. And I think psychologically that F's you up because you think, I'm
here to do.
We're like Pavlov's dogs, aren't we? Tap dancing gets applause. Let's see what happens if I do that again. And reinforces that picture. And then 20 years later, I'm an out of work tap dancer. And I thought, why didn't I just do that accountancy degree that I should have?
Because
I was in a school play.
Uncle Bob liked my tap dancing in the kitchen once.
And it was sarcastic anyway. He didn't even like it.
He wasn't even watching. He was thinking about something else.
So I think that there's an element there. And praise.
Because to become good at something requires a lot of dedication and hard work. Do you think a child would do that just... because of that one applause? Wouldn't there have to be something on top of that?
I think you're right. There's probably something that you have a natural inclination for.
Yeah.
Like a comic. They've just got that natural draw. It does something. They'll listen to comedy. They've got a love of it. And they've got some sort of skill around it. So they'll get applause. They're the funny kid in class.
Mm.
So that reinforces the reward system. So the reward system has to come in there somewhere, doesn't
it?
If you've never been praised for... your acting ever, even by your mum going, oh, that's your kid, you were so good in the school play. The reward system doesn't kick in and perhaps it wouldn't come. Do you think that kid who never got praised for being an actor, but it's in his heart, would that still pursue it? Or is the reward system a trigger?
Maybe it varies. Because I'm sure there's instances where a kid might find something that they love and they actually get criticised for it. Like, you're wasting your time, you should be doing this, they'll get in trouble for doing it, but because they love it, they do it anyway. It could be that. But there could also be an element of... So it could be multiple factors, couldn't there, that come together. So maybe it's rare. So you know when you hear stories of, you know, I picked up a tennis racket when I was 6 and I knew I wanted to be a tennis player. Maybe it's rare to hear that because a number of factors have to come together at once. So, for example, they got the right praise at that moment, they happen to be good at it and they happen to enjoy it and the circumstances were all right.
The stars are lined
up for that to happen.
Well,
so
I'm never going to agree. This is going to be an easy one.
Go on.
I'm never going to agree with become an accountant. And I'm never going to...
Well, if someone's got a passion for numbers
then
and spreadsheets.
Still no.
So you've just offended to all the...
That's a joke.
The listeners who love a good still spreadsheet no. And a good... profit and loss.
Stop that shit.
What's wrong with being an accountant?
That was a joke.
But we should make it clear, right? That obviously people have everyone has right. wide and varied wonderful
accountants
interests.
Have rights.
Yeah.
I meant doing it because you think that's going to earn you money and you don't like it.
Yeah, and obviously it's the typical example like being an accountant
or insurance
a job
broker.
That's not. Yeah.
But you tell me anyone wants to be an insurance broker. No little kid. So that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I overheard my dad make an insurance claim and decided
that was it.
That was it for me.
Was in my heart forever. So there are jobs we can make fun of because no one ever really wanted to do that. Also,
anyway,
let's move on. So my friend said, we spoke about this not long ago, and he said, when you're looking back on your life, you're going to have to look back on something that you're proud that you at least tried. You're never going to go, well, I did, I made a good quarterly annual revenue on that accountancy job. You have to do something that you're gonna that you care about. You have to. You haven't got a choice. That's what I think. I think.
I'm not sure. Because, well, I guess that principle of a lot of people don't. So if I'm just quoting Cal Newport, a lot of people don't have clearly defined pre-existing passions to follow. So this idea that you've got to do something that you care about, I think it's not necessarily.
But everyone's got something everyone's got something they lean towards, right? Don't they? A person might enjoy lots of different things, but there's definitely things that they wouldn't. So there's a bucket for them that they're like, I'll read a paper about politics and finance, but I won't read the art paper. Well, that tells you something,
mm-hmm.
that their inclination and natural tendencies of interest lie in a certain area. Doesn't mean that they...
Yeah, but the area can be very broad.
But then that job can be broad because they're in their world, that they belong in that world, and that's what their interest is in. That's the kind of people and culture they're interested in.
I don't know, because a lot of people just fall into their job, don't they? So it's not so much that they've avoided that art paper.
Okay, I think they've...
It's just that most jobs aren't to do with art. Most jobs are to do with business, like finance. True. And...
I was listening to Marissa Peer,
mm-hmm.
well-known therapist and hypnotist person.
Yep.
I don't know what she does.
She's a therapist to the stars.
Is she a real therapist?
I honestly don't know, to be honest. I'm not sure.
But apart from that, I recently listened to one about how to find your passion. Not that I need that, but I thought, wonder what Marissa says about that.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, she went on about the hypnotising yourself and all that, but she said there's always something that you liked doing when you were a kid, and she regresses you. And this is quite a practical person. This is not a particularly spiritual energy thing, which we can get onto that, because I know you like that. And she said, you have to go back to when you were a kid and what you liked doing.
At what age? Because it changed.
I think, I can't remember, but she kind of says, the age will come to you, do you know what I mean? When you start going back, you'll settle on an age.
But isn't everyone going to say...
Cricket. You
know, I liked playing football, playing video games, playing with, you know, doing people's hair.
No,
and then no one's going to be left. Hair. Who's going to be left to do the accounts?
It's the insurance. What if, when I was 8, I loved insurance. I don't know. That's true. There is. There isn't.
And also, I was an idiot when I was a kid. Why should I listen to?
Because I think it's before all the conditions. It's because it's before all the conditioning. It's like a natural inclination.
Maybe it was good conditioning.
Some people come out of the womb wood whittling.
Oh, it's a boy, and the boy has made a spoon
with a knife. But saying that, sometimes I wonder if we should do job roulette, and I'd love it if someone just took the decision out of my hands, spun a wheel, and next week I started as a zoo.
Should we do that live? This can be in the next episode.
No, I'm serious. Sometimes I think I'm so conditioned and had the reward system of painting, drawing, blah blah blah, that I think, tell me, just give me another job and I don't want anything to do with it, and next week I'm a zookeeper.
Oh, the roulette is in, like, you want to move around?
Yeah, just, we've got 10 jobs not on the
one
board.
Off, not a one-off spin, and that's what you're doing for the rest
spin.
Of your life.
Yeah, one-off spin.
And then,
let's go
so
for
you,
it.
You, basically, you want the decision taken out of your hands, right?
Yeah, because I'm so conditioned.
Okay, I can decide for you right now.
Zookeeper.
An abseiling instructor.
Yeah, but maybe that's it.
How many of your life decisions do you want to pass on to other people?
That's one of my issues. But that comes with awareness of knowing my conditioning and, or everyone's conditioning and lack of clarity in that world. I think, do you think that other people can see you more objectively than yourself? Or do you think that only you know really what you should be doing?
Well, I remember talking to someone who was a friend, but I don't really keep in touch with them anymore. This is a long time ago. And they had an arranged marriage and they were very for the idea. And they said that their parents and family are probably better judges of who would be compatible for him than he would himself.
But maybe he just got lucky and they were particularly hot.
No, well, this is before he got married. So
okay.
He was saying that without the knowledge of it actually having.
But there's
happened.
Conditioning there as well, so we don't really know his true opinion.
Oh, yeah, of course. Should I go on to a couple of other points that Cal Newport raised? Yeah, or
do so.
So he also said, there is not a lot of good evidence that matching the content of your work to a pre-existing interest is a major driver of satisfaction in that job.
But there's no satisfaction in the other job. But you're saying that gets well paid. And so you're saying...
Alternatively, this is kind of the same point. We have a ton of evidence that other factors are much more important. Things like autonomy, things like mastery, things like impact, things like connection. I'm quoting Cal Newport, by the way.
From experience, I have not had that experience. In jobs...
You've never experienced autonomy, mastery, no, I'm saying impact, and connection.
I've done those things and yet still don't want to do the job.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, fine. So I suppose he's not saying you want to do it. I guess he's just saying that there's evidence that those things are important, but there isn't really much evidence that if you follow some pre-existing idea of, you know, what's interesting to you.
Okay. I get that. And I think people look at things through rose-coloured glasses and think it's going to be...
I'm going to be an actor. It's all going to be...
It's me and Channing. Because I believe in manifestation. What about Mr. Gosling? I keep saying it.
We've got to bring Mr. Gosling into this. Otherwise, he'll feel left out.
Have you seen him dance? Oh, no, he's quite good at dancing, Ryan Gosling.
I'm just kidding.
No, Channing. I'm just kidding.
And then I'm paraphrasing the next bit, but Cal Newport goes on to say, when an entrepreneur in a magazine says, follow your passion, what they really mean is...
Follow the money.
Follow the goal of ending up passionate about your work.
Oh, God, that's so boring.
And his method, the method Cal Newport has for doing that is to get good at something, use it as leverage, then get even better, then use that as leverage, then get even better and use that as leverage. So you're just becoming, I guess, becoming in a more powerful position, you're becoming better at what you do, you'll probably be better compensated for it.
It's very so this is all Wall Street 1980s, isn't it?
What was it like?
I don't know.
Wall Street 1980s, what were you doing then?
Marissa Peer also says about goal setting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have a goal, you're not going to do it. You don't care. So I think that's what's on the table for me as well. The thing about doing something that you care about art, say you're in the theatre industry, say you're an actor, that's the word, there's this personal goal of excitement that's not money related, that's a driving force. You're going to get better and better at it because you care about it, whether you get money for it or not. And that's kind of, you need that. You can't strive for a goal, say as an insurance broker, I'm going to become a better insurance broker. In real life, you don't care. I don't care if I'm the best insurance broker in the world. That goal can't motivate me. Does that goal ever going to motivate anyone? It's only money-based.
But it does though, doesn't it?
Does it? Really?
Yeah, money-based, right? But not just money-based, but also having an easier life.
The goal of getting better at something, get better.
Yeah, people do that all the time. These are people who are successful that we wouldn't know or associate with.
But they're money-driven. I thought you were saying driven by getting better at something. It doesn't matter what it is.
I think they're money-driven, but these other components, you don't care about it. Well, these other components come into it, like autonomy, mastery, impact, connection, and obviously there'll be a bit of ego as well, right? So
yeah,
you know, you want to be the boss sort of thing. But I think that a lot of people, a lot of people have jobs that probably aren't some predefined or pre-existing passion for them, and they do perfectly fine, and their focus isn't on living the dream, but their focus is on having a good job, getting well paid, becoming better at it, you know, switching to a company that treats them better, you know, getting some more additional qualifications, moving up the ladder, getting more money.
Sorry.
And a lot of people probably do that because they have to work, right? They have mortgage, they have kids, so they have to work. So given that they have to work and it's not clear what their life passion is, or, you know, it hasn't worked out that way, then what they're left with is, you know, a typical office job and just trying to make that work as well as they can for themselves. By the way, I'm mostly just trying to get across the points made in my research of what Cal Newport has said in this How Money Works video. I'm not saying that that's my point of view necessarily.
Do you find it depressing?
Very much so. Very much so.
Do you think if you sat a lot of those people down, apart from people that are in high-flying vocations like lawyers and they do love it and they're, you know, things that we would find corporate-y, but they do it. Apart from those people that always had that passion for those things, just that average kind of corporate-y job and they're doing all right and they're getting another promotion, if you sat them down and go, have you learned to love this then? Are you passionate about it? Are you, you know, reaching for the goals? And do you think that anyone's going to go, yeah, I hated it at first and now I'm just really into it and I love it. I just want to be a better, get better and better. Or do you, if you sat them down and actually deconstruct everything, they go, well, I've always wanted to...
Don't say wood whittler.
Be a gardener. That's my true love.
I think a lot of people, I think, will say that they want success, they want money, they want to climb the ladder, and that's what drives them.
Maybe I'm just naive, but I find that hard to believe. Most people, I think most people would just go, I hate, like, yeah, it's all right, I'll do it, but up with it, it's a sacrifice. It's not what I want to do, and I hate it, and I don't care about it, but I've
got no, a mortgage. The whole, yeah, but I don't think that's not necessarily...
I'm never going to learn to love it.
That's not necessarily mutually exclusive from what I'm saying. So they don't love it, right?
This isn't, so you're agreeing.
They're not doing it because of fun, but they are. But they want to be successful. Fine. They want to earn money. They want to climb the ladder. They want respect. They want social kudos for being a director.
I get that, but this guy is saying that you'd have to learn to love that. Learn loving, climbing up that ladder and getting better at it.
I think he's saying that the better you get and the more leverage you have to put yourself in a position where you have more things like autonomy, the ability to master something, have impact. Let's say someone who hasn't climbed the career ladder, they're going to be less sort of impactful, aren't they? They're going to have less power at work. They're going to have less money.
But those that have done that, I still don't think that if you sat them down in a quiet moment, they've learned to love it. They put up with it for money reasons.
Mm.
But he's saying you will learn to love it by getting better at...
I think that they might have learned to love it in some ways, right? Because I think it's not that... I think it's not that clear cut.
I think they're depressed.
Anyone who succeeds in the corporate world is fundamentally depressed.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that it's not necessarily that black and white either. Like, fundamentally, they might acknowledge that, of course, I'm not going to... If they're not being paid for it, they're not going to do it voluntarily. But there might be aspects of the job which bring some sort of sense of reward to them, you know, that they've achieved something, they've delivered something, they've made this impact on the company's, you know, profits.
I get that.
And they've got a bonus for it.
But I don't think it's enough.
Fine, but I'm just saying that it's not necessarily a case of they hate everything about it. No, I'm just saying it's a little bit more murky.
I'm obviously joking, and obviously it's a complex situation where someone might like colleagues in the world, but they don't like this, but they do like that bit, and they don't mind that bit, and but generally, for some reason, it depresses. They might even find it rewarding because they think, well, I'm learning, so it doesn't matter what I'm doing, my brain's being stretched. I get all that, but I think because it takes up so much time and it's your whole life, something about that depresses me, that it's just okay. It's the equivalent of everything, like where you live, marriage, so and all that
let's
stuff.
Let's talk about the alternative, right?
Well, just
talk about
okay.
The alternative is that you start off doing something that you think you're going to love, but actually it turns out to be just as miserable, if not worse, than the boring job, and you're not being paid as well for it, and you're probably going to be asked to work longer hours. So I think it's the comparison of the two. So let's say those are your only two choices, right? A failed pursuit of passion.
No, because that's hindsight.
Or the pursuit of a boring job.
It doesn't work.
No, because I think
you're
comparing succeeding in your pursuit of passion versus doing a boring job.
I'm comparing...
You're comparing Ryan Gosling to Joe Schmo, who works in accounts for a button-making company.
Obviously, hindsight, you might try and be that actor and then you never get a job and then you become an alcoholic. But that's... Hindsight, that's like saying I'm going to try and marry for love, but you know, you might not work out, but I'm saying it's worth, you have to give it a go. You're not going to look back, you're going to look back and go, well, at least I gave it a go.
No, I agree with
at least you know.
I think that some people, I've heard some people say, why are you chasing that? It's never going to happen. I'm sure you've heard that as well, not necessarily even directed at me, but directed at other people, right? So I remember at university, someone said that to, someone was studying like some art related course. And this other person was studying something really boring. I can't remember what was boring to me, right? Some boring thing. And he said to the person doing the art course, well, yeah, like, you're wasting your time, right? You're chasing a dream that's never going to happen. Almost like you're being like a child. And that's that sort of thing. And I don't know if the person on the boring course...
That's fair. To a certain degree. I'm changing my mind. Go on. Don't know the person on the boring course.
Yeah, I don't know if it's... I don't know if what their position was in the sense that did they have a passion and they sort of rationally decided like a robot that I've done my research and only 2% of people succeed in this career choice. So I've gone with career choice X because it pays this amount and statistically robot. By the time I'm 30, I'll be earning this and then I'll be able to retire by I'm 45. I don't know what their motivation was for choosing that particular thing. Maybe they just never felt that inspiration to do something. They can't relate to it. So they can't relate to it. They might have even felt a bit, to be honest, I remember hearing in the conversation, I remember thinking that the person saying you're wasting your time, I felt like there was a bit of like, almost like jealousy maybe in there, that they recognised that they were doing something not particularly inspiring.
They're being defensive.
Or exciting, yeah, something like that.
I understand that about being a child, because I think, well, that my child choices then are driving my entire life still, and that seems ridiculous. So maybe there's a happy medium there where you can recognise your natural skills and child passions married with the adult. You can bring the adult into it. I don't think we're trained to think in an entrepreneurial way or business way. I think that's what's missing. So it doesn't mean that you're an actor, so you have to be on Broadway. It could be that you're an actor and you develop a platform to teach people, blah, 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 acting and some sort of entrepreneurial aspect to it, to think a little bit differently. It doesn't have to be so. Maybe we think black and white,
but then that person,
I'm going to be an actor,
but then that person doing that, basically they've stepped away from the actual core of what they love, and now they're just doing the what they thought was the boring admin stuff, and they might as well have done that in an industry where they're going to pay a lot rather than
it's tricky, isn't it?
Because and also one of my questions was, does self-employment change anything?
Yeah.
And I was thinking that not really, because customers and clients, they know that this is a competitive thing. So they'll take, if it's not your boss taking advantage of you, your customer will. If you're in an industry where that's highly competitive, let's say you're like a freelance artist or whatever on Fiverr or something like that, they know that, you know, there's a million other freelancers that will offer the same thing for less and they'll work for longer. But a part of me thinks that no one's going to follow this advice. Rather, part of me thinks that anyone who's going to follow Cal Newport's advice and sort of sit down and look at the numbers and look at it rationally, they probably would have done that anyway. And anyone who has some pre-existing passion, they're not going to be able to switch that off.
No.
I would imagine. It'd be hard to switch that off. Life circumstances might eventually cause them to switch that off.
But does he take into account people's natural inclinations and skill set?
I think he does. I don't want to misquote him, but I think elsewhere he has talked about the idea of following what you're good at rather than what you're passionate about. And often there's an overlap between the two.
I can't see the difference, really.
What, between following what you're good at? Well, you might be excellent wood whittler, but hate it.
That's what I'm saying. I obviously understand conceptually what he's saying. But I mean, I don't believe that people like what they're not good at, I think. And if they do like what they're not good at, say they're learning a musical instrument and they're aware that they're
You're saying that people, you don't believe that people like what they're not good at?
I think, let me rephrase that. They all like playing the guitar or something, and they like enjoy it, but they're not very good at it. It doesn't become a passion in the same sense. It becomes... They're very aware that there's a hobby. I think the passion comes from skill set. I think they're too much intertwined.
Like, so when you get good at something, that's when the passion really comes.
It comes with it.
And probably quite quickly, right?
I think so.
You do it, you get better.
It's your natural inclination. You're good at it. Grows the passion, and
intertwined. More, you get better. Enjoy it more.
Doing abseiling, obviously, but I would not. But my
have you done rock climbing before?
No.
You never done rock climbing?
No, even indoor? No, I was thinking about it the other day.
Bit of bouldering.
Yeah, I might do a bit of bouldering.
You must have done at some point.
I've climbed the wall. I've climbed the wall, but in a different way. No, but the thing is, that's where this does actually come into conversation, because I also think, you know, my indecisive thing, I think there's probably all these other jobs. I never even tried zookeeping. I might love it. Mm. How would I know? I might like juggling in a circus. I might like, well, I can't think of something more corporate. How do I know I'm not head of marketing at some charity? I might love it. So how are you supposed to?
So maybe the advice then is to try also to try many things, you know.
When you're younger.
Ideally when you're younger, you know, when the time's right.
I'm surprised the things I've tried and I've liked.
Like what?
Archery. I didn't want to go, but I loved it.
Really?
Yeah, I loved it.
Where's your bow and arrow now?
I actually won the women's competition.
Probably easy.
It's very we're talking about it.
I'm joking.
Very amateur. I'm joking. Day out. But my point stands.
No, I understand. I agree.
There must be loads.
Because I recently wrote a note down for myself to try a few more different things. Because it could be something that I hadn't even thought of.
Do you know what I want to do? Be a dolphin trainer. That looks fun.
Really?
When's the opportunity? Where's the opportunity?
But for you don't even like swimming.
I love swimming.
But if you can train them well, they can push you around. You don't even have to swim.
And that could be part of the act.
Look at. We're going to throw this woman who cannot swim into this pod of dolphins.
I'm not the woman, I'm the trainer in this scenario. But what if I tried that one day and that was like, oh my God, forget art. This is like,
you probably try.
So how, that's what annoys me.
Range of things.
How would I know?
But a lot of things are kind of overlap, right? Like if you like art, right? If you like painting and you probably like
dolphins.
Yeah, and wood whittling. Like if you like sort of painting, you're probably more likely to like, you know,
flower arranging.
Yeah, like that, some sort of like visual art type thing.
You're stereotyping.
If you like accountancy, you'll probably also like other things that involve numbers and spreadsheets. And
yeah, I get that. But what if it's something completely
So what I mean
is
you don't have to try every single little thing. But if you try, if you sort of carefully select a range of things.
There's so many though, isn't there?
No, but you could still increase your coverage,
right? What if I'm a really good wrestler? How would I know?
You're not a good wrestler.
I could be a Mexican
because of
wrestler.
Me, that voice, you're not a good that was the voice of someone stamping on someone else's
critic,
dream.
You're the critic's voice.
I read the other day about
stamping
this,
on my dream.
This pop artist, I say pop, it's kind of alternative music, and he started a band and he was very successful. And it wasn't, I think it was in his teens, like he just decided he was going to, I don't know, he bought a keyboard, right, and brought it home, like a cheap keyboard. And then just discovered that he loved it.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, well, if you hadn't, if that day, he said it was like a bit of a random decision. And now he's, you know, massively successful. I can't remember the name of the artist now.
Yeah, exactly.
But I remember thinking,
exactly.
That, so what's,
this is my dolphin.
So what's
thing.
His piano? What's your.
What's my dolphin?
Yeah.
I'm serious. I actually do think about that. I think there's a whole world out there. But then you can, then we're coming back to what about the fact that what you love loves you, it will find you. You really meant to be a dolphin trainer.
Do you believe that?
I think on some level.
What you love will find you. In which case, why do most people
reason
work
that I'm not a dolphin trainer?
They don't particularly love.
Because they're not tuned in to.
But they don't have to be because what you love will find
you.
You've
got to be open to it. You can't keep the door closed.
Oh, well, it's not finding you really, is it?
Well,
you're the one
you're
doing
making
most
it hard.
Of work.
You're making it hard. You keep shutting the door. I think that's where you need to sit down and really let it come through.
Yeah.
There's something, our minds get in the way, and all these facts and figures this guy, Cal Newport, is saying, that's just only going to confuse me. Because then what do I just do a spreadsheet of? I've got this thing.
You pick up a book
and
you look at the statistics around opportunities versus pay versus.
But what about the fact that fluctuates as well? You could be doing, you could spend 10 years learning to code and then AI come in. What's the chance of that? You never know.
I know, I agree. And these are long-term decisions as well, aren't they? Another thing that wasn't necessarily brought up in the little couple of video clips that I saw was more around like the meaning of what you're doing.
Yeah.
So yes, it may be, right, that you struggled as an actor and you didn't get to succeed in the way you thought, but you did do some things. It could be that, sure, have you measured that act? If you, every day you ask the actor and you ask the accountant, how happy are you today? You know, or how much did you enjoy the day? Maybe their results will be similar, but over time, the actor might be left with something that's more meaningful for them, that fulfills them in a different way or on a different level than just sort of day-to-day, you know, enjoyment. because a lot of people will do things that are meaningful but are a struggle for them.
Yeah.
You know, focus on a cause, and they might really, you know, they might lose it, really sacrifice a lot for that cause, yeah. But for them, it meant something.
Mission, greater mission.
So I feel like that.
I agree with
that component.
I agree with that, but it's also a bit annoying that, you know, a lot of these fields are taken advantage of just because you want to work in the art world because you love art, and then you work in an art gallery. It's just a bit sad that those industries are often, well, everyone wants to work in this gallery, so here's 10p.
Really, you want to be someone who's passionate about something that everyone else finds boring.
Yeah.
And also where there's business opportunity.
I think that also, by looking at that spreadsheet and going, well, if I become a tax insurance broker, I would have this amount of
life. I'm playing golf every day by the time I'm 45.
I will set off the tee at 3 o'clock.
This isn't fair, by the way, right? Tax advisors. It's become a very exciting career, right? They earn a lot of money. It's a lot, very exciting. They work for blue chip companies.
How can that be in the same sentence?
They work for blue chip companies. They're wheeling and dealing.
Do you know why it's exciting?
Getting paid shitloads of money.
Because they buy a Porsche on the weekend.
Right.
And ride it around. And my point, now I've lost my point.
Sorry.
And I was going to say.
Something about buttons.
Yeah, we're not here. It's too neat and tidy, yeah, to go, I've come to this planet. I'm going to make the best of the tax accountant jobs there are out there. We're here. It's more exciting to do something difficult, exciting goal, isn't it? Why do we climb that mountain? Just to abseil down it? There's no point. We might as well do something.
Statistically, a mountain of between 2,000 to 3,000 metres.
Yeah, we wouldn't do that.
It's more rewarding than 3,000 to 4,000 metres.
If we're all robots, we'd look at the mountain and go, that doesn't logically make sense on the Excel spreadsheet. Let's not bother climbing the mountain. We climb it because we've just got to do it.
You've got to climb the mountain. You could have been working and earning money whilst you were up the mountain.
This is not a good idea. It's too neat and tidy and boring.
And we're not going to follow it. Anyone who would follow Cal Newport's advice would have done it anyway, because that's their approach to life.
You've got no soul.
And anyone who doesn't...
You've got to lead from the soul.
Oh, God.
But you have to. You've got no choice.
No, I'm joking. There's no free will. That can be a future topic.
No, I don't talk about free will. I'm talking about your soul is saying, look, wood whittler, whittle.
That's what you were here for, wood whittler.
Whilst you're in the accountancy firm, all you're going to hear is... Wood whittling. You've got to go.
Are you saying you're supposed to just ignore the data?
Ignore the data.
Or some say the data.
You've just got to do what you've got to do. That's what I think, fundamentally. And the struggle comes when you start...
How's that working out for you?
Not that well. The struggle comes when you fight that and you go, oh, but that doesn't bring me the right pension increments over 10 years and I've done the math. Doesn't work. You go for it.
But I've talked to people before and they're
not happy.
Maybe people are wired differently, right? I've talked to people before and I've asked them.
You're saying people are different.
and they were talking about an interview that they got for this job. And I think I asked them, you know, is it the sort of job you'd want to do? What do you think you want to do next? And straight away, without sort of hesitation, their response was, whatever pays me the most.
Yeah,
and
robots.
And that was it for them.
Robots.
Simple as that. And I'm not sure. Are you saying that there's something wrong with that? Or are you saying that for them, that works for them and that's great, but for someone who has a soul, but for someone who does have what appears to be some kind of pre-existing passion or calling or desire for something that seems to have meaning for them, then maybe that advice, Cal Newport's advice, isn't really as applicable. He's saying the evidence is
that evidence?
There's other...
I want to see the stats.
A lot of this evidence is very questionable.
I'm
going to
say the opposite.
Very
the evidence is people that just go for the money are miserable.
Yeah.
That's the evidence.
Statistically.
I don't actually have that evidence
I can draw a graph, send you a text
later.
Yeah, a lot of this evidence, I believe, is very questionable. I think that a lot of the social science, everyone who's in social sciences, apologies, but I think that a lot of the studies that have been done, I'm sure I've heard that there's a realisation now that they're not replicable. They're actually bullshit.
I completely believe that. 98% of stats are not
so when
true.
You hear, when you hear things about, you know, I think one of them was, you know, if you put a cup of coffee in someone's hand, so they feel something warm before they go to like a job interview or something. Or if you give them a cold cup of something cold in their hands and apparently they perform differently. I think that was an example of one that's BS, like we can't replicate.
Has one of them got caffeine in?
No, you just give it. I think they're set up so they don't know they're part of the study, and someone comes along and says, oh, can you just hold this for a second? Yeah. So they just hold like a warm cup of coffee or a cold beverage. I might have just made this up,
but I think they probably did anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Why don't we just make it up?
And then I'm sure that there were these two guys who decided to just make up stuff and publish it.
Yeah.
And it was just read. It just went through,
and
right?
Like, oh, went through, yes.
And everyone's like, wow.
10 out of 10 cats do like whiskey. I think that I would find it hard to believe that that person that says, whatever pays me the most, I find it hard to believe that if I didn't sit them down, that they wouldn't crack and go, actually, you're right, I hate my life.
Be a ballerina.
Yeah, I can't, but maybe I'm naive in that sense. I can't believe that they're truly, like, they're soul-driven.
Are you intimidated by them? Is it possible that you're intimidated?
I just can't relate to them.
I'm not saying you or me, because...
No.
It's a little bit scary in a way, isn't it? Because not so much that they're rich, but you're competing against... Their goal, they're going to dominate, aren't they? They just want whoever gives them the most money, and they're going to end up the most powerful.
But then they're going to be miserable. Or not. Maybe you're right. I think maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know.
In conclusion.
Great, you've just decided.
No, what I'm saying, I'd love to be like that a little bit. There is a part of me that thinks, what am I doing? Just, if your goal was go for the money, and no matter what, I mean, are we talking about drug dealing and stuff?
Well, I know someone who their goal was to earn as much money as they can and retire in their early 40s,
no,
right?
That's depressing.
And they retired in their early 40s.
No, that's
so they're retired now, right?
That's not exciting. To keep earning money until you rule the world, I can, because I've been watching Billions.
Yeah.
I get that. I get gambly, like, buy, sell. I get that vibe. That's different because I think that's exciting. There's an excitement there.
Mm.
When it's just, well,
so you'd want to continue doing it, right?
Or I'll just wait for the next promotion. That's a bit different. But I still find it hard to, if I sat them down there, but what do you really actually want? What do you actually care about more deeply?
Mm.
That they would go, nothing. I just want money.
So you're saying
I find that hard to believe.
But is that just because it's just not your cup of tea, right?
Maybe it's because it's not my cup of tea. I do get the stockbroker, love buying and selling.
Or an entrepreneur,
that's
right?
Yeah, building that's up, different. Building up a business. But that's creative. That's really creative.
Selling, building up another business, selling.
Yeah, and I get that. To me, that's creative. They're picking a creative, difficult choice there.
So
that's not easy.
What are the jobs that you think...
Lion tamer.
What are the jobs that you can't relate to, or you can't imagine anyone...
Being happy.
...saying, it's what I was brought on this earth to do?
Oh, God.
Is it that you don't know
insurance,
enough?
Maybe. Tax,
you know how you said that you haven't tried
accountancy.
Enough? Is it possible you could try tax accountancy and discover that this is what you were born to do?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Many lifetimes. I need many lifetimes. I've got another theory as well, just quickly, just to wrap up.
I decide when we wrap up. It's my turn. This week.
I'm
in charge this week. You're in charge next week.
Sometimes I think we're all cave people, really. Our cave brains are dominating us. And I think that in the tribe days, in the cave tribe days, are they the same? In the tribe days, there would always be, you have a fit and you've got a natural inclination. And of that village, that tribe, someone is cooking the meals and someone's fighting the dragons and someone's weaving the baskets. Yeah, and it's just their natural...
Such an enforced...
Which might not be true because it kind of gets passed down... That's actually factual or unfactual. It probably gets passed down generations. So forget that. But I always think that I'm weaving the baskets and I'm making the water.
That you would be that person.
Yeah, and I'm cooking the... I'm not... But I made that...
No, you're hunting. You liked archery. You'd be the one out there hunting down that
line. I'd be slaying the dragons. So that's the thing. I think maybe I'm just being conditioned to thinking... Follow your soul and your heart, and it's all about the art, and that rhymes. But maybe deep down, I'm a dragon slayer.
Because that was one of my points. One of the things I was going to say is that this idea of following your passion, doing your, following your dreams, is relatively new, isn't it? Like for many hundreds of thousands of years, and I don't really think that applied. It was just more about find your place in the tribe and survive.
But that's,
I would imagine,
that applies across the board, doesn't it? No one married for love before 2017. And they didn't even care about their children, did they?
What, these
that's
cave
a sweeping
people?
Statement. But there's very much...
I'm sure they used to eat their babies
there was
for
very
fun.
It was a very practical relationship. you do chores, I give you food.
Mm.
That's it. That's their mother-daughter relationship. But now we're like, oh, baby, mothering and stuff. So I think all that's new, but is that a good thing? Is that our development expansion and our ability to not be cave people anymore? Yeah,
and to or we have more autonomy over our lives, carve our own paths through the jungle. So to wrap up, have you got any sort of closing thoughts?
As usual, we're sort of a bit of both, aren't we? I would always err on that side of being the spiritual junkie and going, I can't tell that teenager not to follow their heart and not being like, I can't do it. I would never be able to do it.
You could be ruining their life by not doing it.
But I don't have that cold-hearted persona. Yeah, it could that you be do.
Cold and coward, cowardly to not.
I'm
the one who said I would just step out of the room.
But I would also not I would never say to have the conventional life, get married, live your life by a spreadsheet stats. I'm never going to say that. I'm going to say the opposite and just do loads of shit and be messy. And what's the point otherwise? I guess I'm going to have to, I don't have any choice. And that might be determinism. And something else is telling me to do that. Or conditioning, and I'm fully aware of all the psychological, well, no, I'm not, because it's all conditioning, but some of the psychological aspects of inner child trying to be a pop star and all that stuff, because I see that as well. People, always wanted to be a rock star, and I'm still playing the guitar, not to judge people that do that.
Who else can we offend in this podcast?
This is a very controversial subject. I would say that there's no choice. You're never going to go, let's live life by a spreadsheet, are you, in real life? But it's good to be aware of it, though. It's good to be aware of where your conditioning comes in. What do you think?
And as usual, I'm just confused. I guess I feel like, in a way, it's, like I was saying earlier, it's a bit irrelevant, because those who tend to sort of make their decisions... Actually, I was going to say that though there'll be people who like to make their decisions based on data and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling that they're just sort of falling, a bit like the Matrix, right? We've already made our decisions, and we're just trying to understand why we made the decision.
Yeah, I think so.
So I feel like those who are going to follow that path of seeking the dream, they're going to follow it anyway. Yeah. Those who are going to go down the more conventional path for whatever reason, probably can do that anyway, and we're all just trying to justify our...
So you're saying there's no point in talking about it.
Complete waste of time.
No, but I think it's good to challenge those I'm just going to do that, because then it just to open them up a bit more either way. So you're really corporate, but you could open up to some other sort of passions and how you're going to introduce that into your life, and that out of work actor, how you're going to make some money. Yeah. Maybe there's other ways. We're very linear in our career path, I think, in our history. There's just do that, and then do that, and then you get the promotion, then you retire. But I think
often you would just do what your family did.
Yeah,
right?
Your dad was a butcher, or you're taught at school.
You're a butcher.
That's good money in butchery. But I think we're the work world is expanding, hopefully, and we're all a bit hybrid. Do you know what I mean? Maybe I can do a couple of things, and
maybe I can be a tax advisor and also a button factory accountant.
Yeah. And maybe that's to me is refreshing, that we can, I don't have to have that linear, maybe you do a bit of this, bit of that, and cross-pollinate. It's disgusting. Done.